House will come to order, and the clerk will call the roll. Barker, Barnhart, Berger, Beyer, Bonamici, Boone, Boquist, Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Butler, Cameron, Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum, Dingfelder, Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Garrard, Gelzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, excused, Gelzer, excused for business of the House, Nolan. Flag salute will be led by Representative Ben Cannon.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The opening ceremony today will be presented by Imam Iqbal Shabazz, Oregon Islamic Chaplain Organization of Portland, and a guest of Representative Chip Shields.
In the name of God, Almighty, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we ask for your guidance in the affairs of this august body of citizens, gathered and dedicated to serve as stewards of the land and servants of the people. Guide them in their wisdom and determination to enhance the quality of life, preserve the natural resources, and distribute the benefits of your blessings to all Oregonians. And galvanize our state and all of its diversity by way of example, and keep them humble in their positions and steady in their decisions. And Almighty God, we pray that you will also bless and return home our citizens who are serving in far away and distant places. You are the most merciful, the Almighty, the All-Wise. Amen.
Thank you very much. Courtesies. Representative Garrard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to extend courtesies to the gallery. I have a high school group here, their cultural homestay from my hometown of Lyons, Oregon. They're in the back balcony or back gallery. Becky is their leader. I'd like to bid them welcome.
Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, in the Capitol are some students from the University of Oregon, Lane Community College, down in my district, and those from Lane County, and I would like to acknowledge their participation in Oregon Student Association's Lobby Day and welcome them to Salem. And I invite everyone to attend their rally on the Capitol steps at noon, as well as join them in the Galleria this afternoon from 1 to 2 for a piece of pie. Welcome.
Welcome. Good to have you. Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like you to turn your attention to the gallery here in the, on the side and help me welcome Tim Burr. Tim is a friend of mine for many years. He is a fire safety expert. He was a firefighter in Eugene for about 20 years, and then in 1995 moved up to my neck of the woods and worked for the Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue. He's been a public information officer, and he's here today for our vote on House Bill 2163. Please welcome him to the Capitol.
Very good to have you. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, our honorary page for the day, go ahead and stand up, is Kaya Barlow from Nessa High School. Kaya comes all the way from Eastern Oregon, and we had her older sister, Maddie, as a honorary page last session. Kaya is taking three college credit classes, plans to enroll in Brigham Young University, Idaho, this next year in business on a pre-optometric schedule, and we just want to recognize Kaya, and that sweet smiling face you'll see on the floor today is hers from House District 60. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my pleasure, colleagues, to extend courtesies to the House to two sets of groups who are up in the rear gallery. In the front row of the rear gallery, you'll see folks from Portland State University as well as other universities. They're here for some advocacy to remind us about the importance of education investments. In the rear part of that center section of the gallery, you will see folks from Candy Lane Elementary School in the Oregon City School District. One of my son's very favorite teachers, former teachers, Teresa Figgins, and her class are visiting the Capitol today. Welcome.
Welcome. Representative Lim.
Me?
Uh-oh. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to recognize and thank students from Mount Hood Community College for visiting the Capitol today. It is great to see students from my district here at the Capitol participating in the Oregon Student Association Lobby Day today. Mount Hood students at the Capitol today are Javier Torres. Where are they? Okay, Javier Torres, Jay Sedin, all right, Ryan Fitzgerald, all right, and Sean Robinson, good, Suzanne Rodri. Well, thank you for coming, and also I have a student from Springwater Trail High School. This school is in my district. The students are led by Mr. Mike Leary, who is the instructor at the school. And can you show me where you are from the spring trail? Maybe they have not arrived yet. Also at the same time, I'd like to introduce Shin Jin-hae and her husband Park Myung-jae from Eugene area. And also, Mr. Don Cohen, my good friend, the Korean War Veterans Association, he was the past president. And plus, we have some that the press from the Portland area, the Korean Central Daily Times, and then a Korea Times, and plus other friends over here. So I would like the House to extend a welcome courtesy to this wonderful group of people. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Representative Lim. It is a pleasure to have all of you visiting. Representative Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I just wanted to thank you for your warm welcome to Imam Mikhail Shabazz of my district, and he's with the Islamic Chaplain Organization. And as I mentioned last time, February, as you know, is African American History Month, Black History Month, and over the course of the month, we will be bringing people to share some of that culture, rich culture in our community with us. I'd also like to welcome, as a courtesy on the side aisle, please pass along salutations to Shafia Monroe, who runs the International Center for Traditional Childbearing in my district. So please welcome her. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Welcome to both of you. Further courtesies. Colleagues, I'd like to welcome members of the Oregon Medical Association and the Oregon Medical Association Alliance. These are physicians and their spouses from throughout the state of Oregon. I'd also like to observe that Saturday, February 24th, is Representative Girard's birthday. Happy birthday. Further courtesies. Representative Lim, did you have a further courtesy? Yes, please.
President, again, and I noticed my friend in the upper level of the balcony came to see the process of this legislative, and also they came here to watch, hopefully, the passage of the Korea Day bill today. And I'd like to recognize them. All of them are past president of the Korean Society and a good friend of mine, and a great citizen of this state. Please welcome.
Yeah. Welcome. It's wonderful to have you.
Oh, back there too, also the current president of the Korean Society. Thank you.
Thanks. Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform that the Senate has passed Senate Bill 155, 171, 172, and 173.
First reading, memorials and resolutions.
H.J.R. 31, proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to redistricting.
Measure read first time, has passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports. The committee report files dated February 21st and 22nd have been distributed. Special committee reports. Special orders of business. The clerk will read the resolution.
H.J.R. 12, encouraging Oregonians to join in celebration of Korean American Day.
Question now arises upon final reading and adoption of House Joint Resolution 12A. Representative Lim.
Thank you again, Mr. President. The H.J.R. 12A is the resolution that already U.S. Congress, both House and Senate, passed December 2005. This calls for celebration of the Korean Americans, but 104 years ago, Korean ships arrived in Hawaii as an immigrant, loaded 103 people. This was the first wave of immigration. Georgia and also California passed the almost the same bill, same resolution we are going to pass today, hopefully. And we plan to expand this SJR 12, same resolution, to the nationwide throughout the state. And hopefully we plan to send this message throughout the world. So not only this is a Korea Day, but this is the day for many Korean Americans and Koreans in the world. About 7 million people, they will be celebrating January 13 as a Korea Day. As you all know, that I'm from Korea myself. I came here when I was 30 years old. Now this is my 41st year since I came to USA. So if you know the simple math, you know my age. When I came, I struggled as a janitor and a pots and pans salesman and a gardener and a preacher and a painter, you name it, I did it all. And I was going to be a Christian minister, but somehow I flunked it, so I ended up here. And I
I want you to know I'm very grateful to the American people that when North Korean invaded South Korea 1950, America came over to rescue South Korea, to fight back the invasion of North Korea. The America paid a hefty price. If you read the House Joint Resolution 12, it will show how many thousands of people, more than 36,000 American young soldiers who never even know where the Korea was, and they were given their ultimate sacrifice for the freedom of Korea. And more than 100,000 people wounded during the Korean War. And still, 7,000 people still missing in action, not unaccounted for. We don't know where they are. Even I went to North Korea twice by the invitation of North Korean government. I asked for them, could we recover the bones of those buried in that country? Still, that is the issue we need to resolve with North Korea. Let me tell you that even during the Korean War, 3 years and 1 month, 3 million people were killed, both North and South. And my father was one of the victims. Pardon me. Victims of the Korean War, and I paid also hefty price. We also have about 25,000 Korean people, Korean Americans, and they are Americans. They are living in our state, making a lot of contributions to the society, economically, educationally, even many in different ways. They don't want to be on welfare. They would rather work hard to make a contribution. Korea, the size of land is about one-third of our state. We're a small country in terms of land, but 47 million people living in South Korea alone, and about 25 million people in North Korea. Even though the land is a small country, Korea is the number one trading partner of the United States. They fought together during the World War I, even though very few Koreans were in the United States. They fought World War II against the Nazism with the Korean people living in the United States at that time. And they fought Korean War with the Americans together to fight back North Korea. And also South Korean government sent a lot of Korean young men to Vietnam to fight against communism. And hundreds of thousands of people were killed during that time. Right now, that the Koreans living in the United States who volunteered to serve an American serviceman, they are fighting terrorism against in the country of Iraq and Afghanistan and throughout the world. So Korean-American people, the American now, they are making great contribution to the state and to our nation. Maybe many other, this is the country of diversity, many minorities. But the Korean people now coming of age, they are becoming the public servant. In our state, about 400 people serving in the government, in the federal government, state government, and the local government, even cities, and the school board members in many different ways. And they will be contributing a lot more in the future. Even though we have about 25,000 Korean people, Korean-American people in Portland and in Oregon, we have more than 70 Korean churches in the state. You know, they believe in God. They believe in good things. they believe in propagating the Christianity throughout the world. Of course, we firmly believe church and separation of the church and state. What they are asking is not asking something special. Only they want to be recognized as a great citizen, what they have done, and the close relationship between Korea and U.S., between the Korean-American and the state of Oregon. This is the good thing. By recognizing, passing SJR 12, you are simply recognizing, yeah, you have done well, we encourage you to continue to do that, and January 13 is the day to celebrate. And I'm urging every member of this great chamber that voting aye on this SJR 12 before the people of Oregonian, before the representation from the Korean people from this state. Thank you for your support.
Further discussion, Representative Esquivel.
Colleagues, Representative Lim has pretty much summed up what this is about, but many of us have been touched by not the Korean conflict, but the Korean War. That's what this is about as well. Not only recognition of a great people, but also from Americans that served there. My stepfather was on the front lines when the Chinese overran our forces in Korea and came across the Yalu. He wandered around for 10 days in back of those lines, and miraculously one evening he walked out through a seam in the lines and walked into an Ethiopian camp. This affects each and every one of us at one time or another, but more importantly, if you tell that story in Korea, which I have being with Representative Lim, you're thanked. And that's pretty special because that was 50 years ago. And they still, to this day, thank the Americans for what they have. Great people, great trading partner, but more importantly, a great democracy. I encourage you to support this.
Representative Galizio.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the resolution.
To the resolution.
I rise in support of House Joint Resolution 12. And the good representative from Gresham has spoken eloquently of the numerous important contributions of Korean Americans. And I would simply echo his comments, and I would like to salute the good representative from Gresham for reminding us of the importance of recognizing not only the diversity that we have in the United States and Oregon, but of the specific historical and cultural circumstances of, in this case, the Korean American experience. And I trust that we will have the support of the good representative from Gresham when Representative Bonamici, Senator Ferrioli, and I, what I refer to as the Pasta Caucus, will bring to this body a resolution for an Italian American Day. So, Representative Lim, Komsa Hamida, grazie, and thank you, and I urge your support.
Representative Crummell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to the resolution.
To the resolution.
Colleagues, I rise in support of House Joint Resolution 12 as well. My history with Korea actually goes back quite a ways. If I'm not mistaken, and if I have my history correct, I was actually born on the day that the armistice was signed, ending the war in Korea. Yeah, I'm an old guy. Then fast forwarding in the 1970s, I had the opportunity to travel with the Lewis and Clark baseball team over to South Korea, but some personal matters got in the way, and so I ended up having to cancel out of the trip. But it was something that I was very much looking forward to, and to this day wish I would have been able to make. Then fast forwarding again to another few years, when I was the mayor of Wilsonville, and The Crazy Dons, we like to refer to them as, and one of them has been introduced to you and is standing on the side aisle over here, came to see me and asked for my support and for the city's support to create the Korean War Memorial in Wilsonville. And we talked at length about where it should be put and that sort of thing, and we finally decided that rather than putting it in Veterans Memorial Park, or what's just known as Memorial Park, we would put it up at Town Center Park, where it would become actually a tourist attraction. And in fact, that has happened. And the number of people that visit the Korean War Memorial every single year since it was finally installed in 2001 has been absolutely incredible. It's right around, I think, 60,000 people a year that are visiting it, and I may be off on my numbers, it's probably more. But it has become an attraction, and one of the things about the memorial is that it has the names of all of the Oregon servicemen who died in Korea inscribed on it. If you haven't been there, it's a very nice memorial, and I would suggest stop by sometime. It has also been a place where we have had other functions. For example, last November, in celebration of the upcoming Veterans Day, we had a big parade from Vancouver into Wilsonville, and that became the meeting point. So it has become a place where a lot of people come to get together for a variety of reasons, particularly around war types of things. The other thing is, that memorial would not be there if it weren't for the Korean community in Oregon. They are the ones that really ponied up most of the money to get that memorial installed. They have offered help in a variety of other ways to all of the veterans that have served over in Korea. And I count the Koreans, as many of my friends are Korean, and they are a very strong trading partner with Oregon. And so, colleagues, I do encourage you to vote yes on HCR 12. Thank you.
Representative Schaffler.
Thank you. I completely support this resolution. I had the opportunity.
To the resolution?
Yes, sir. I had the opportunity to visit the beautiful country of Korea with my friend from Gresham in 2005. And a more industrious, generous, hospitable bunch of folks I've never met in my life. I had a great time. I can't wait to go back. And I just wanted to recognize that and I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the resolution.
To the resolution.
Colleagues, I rise in support of HJR 12, and everything that I say applies equally to its companion bill, House Bill 2447. I rise in support of this resolution, which recognizes and expresses appreciation for the contributions of Korean Americans and establishes January 13th as Korean American Day. There is a very special relationship that exists between the United States and the Republic of Korea. As the resolution states, more than 54,000 American men and women gave their lives in support of democracy and freedom on the Korean Peninsula between June 1950 and July 1953. In addition, South Korea is Oregon's third largest trading partner, with over $1.3 billion in annual bilateral trade occurring between our two great states. HJR 12 recognizes, enshrines, and celebrates these important connections between the Republic of Korea and Oregon. HJR 12 also honors the people of Korean descent who now make their homes in Oregon and who contribute to the health of our economy and the richness of our culture. I want to thank the good representative from East Multnomah County for this important resolution as well as its companion bill, and urge this assembly to act favorably upon both of them. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Thatcher.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the resolution.
To the resolution.
The good representative from Gresham asked me to rise and speak a few words in behalf of this resolution, not the least of which was regarding a trade mission that I got to accompany Representative Lim. We went to South Korea along with, a couple other people here in this building. we had a good time, but we also met some wonderful, wonderful people, many of whom either loved Oregon, wanted to come to Oregon, or had relatives living here in Oregon. And they were wonderful government delegates who had so many good things to say about Oregon. And of those who had relatives living here in Oregon, I want to thank them for their contributions to this wonderful state, and I especially, not the least of whom, is our good representative from Gresham and all his contributions to this state. And I just urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Lim, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, again. I just want to thank each one of the members, especially spoke on behalf of this SJR 12A in favor of supporting this. And I know and I'm confident each member of this body will support this bill and pass unanimously. And thank you again.
Those who are of the opinion the resolution should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. House Joint Resolution 12A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next order, special order of business.
House Bill 2447 relating to Korean American Day.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2447A. Representative Lim.
Mr. Speaker, thank you again. And we just passed the historical HJR 12A engrossed just a moment ago. This is a milestone for the Korean Americans, and this is not simply for the Korean Americans. This is for Oregonians. This is for all Americans. Now, we have House Bill 2447A engrossed, which calls for celebration. HJR 12 talks about be it resolved by the Legislative Assembly of the State of Oregon that we, the members of the 74th Legislative Assembly of the State of Oregon, recognize and express our appreciation for the numerous outstanding achievements and contributions Korean Americans have made that have enriched the communities throughout Oregon and around the country, and encourage citizens and organizations throughout Oregon to join the celebration of Korean American Day on January 13 with appropriate program, ceremonies, and activities. Since this calls for celebration and appropriate programs and ceremony activities, who is going to do it? Which organization? Because of that, I introduce a legislation, House Bill 2447A, asking for to the governor create 9 commissions appointed by the governor, and they can serve 4 years, could be reappointed another 4 years, without compensation, without any expenses. So let me make sure there is no tax dollars involved at all. And also, every 2 years before the legislative session, before February, they need to report to the governor and the legislative assembly on their activity of the celebration. The nine members I'd like to recommend possibly come from the members of the Korean War veterans, maybe one member from the Asian Commission, and plus members of a geographically balanced. This is the good thing, and this doesn't call for any tax dollars, and this group will be celebrating every year. And I also want to note that they are serving, this bill calls for only 8 years. This is not permanent organization. After 8 years, this commission will be abolished. So I want to feel comfortable on this bill. Why we create more commission? This is not a permanent commission. And by that time, between 8 years, they are going to have their own Chapter 501c3 nonprofit corporation, so they can celebrate their own. But by initiated by the governor, appointing nine members, this will give a good jump start. And they consider it a great honor being appointed by the governor as a commission serving the Korean American people. Simply, they are not Korean American anymore, only hyphen the Americans, and we are all American. And I'm very proud. I call myself an American. Thank you, Mr. President.
Now I recognize co-carrier, Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As the good representative from East Multnomah County just stated, this companion bill to H.J.R. 12 is a celebration of Korean Americans, and this is what is going to make it possible for our state to have that celebration and to recognize not only our cultural ties, but our trading ties with South Korea as well. With that, Mr. Speaker, would be happy to take any questions.
Further discussion? Representative Crummell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I'll be brief because I kind of talked longer than I meant to on the last bill. Again, I think that this is a good bill for us to have. I'm glad to see that we're actually going to put the day, January 13, in statute. I think that it's a wise thing to do, and I'm also glad to see that we're going to ask the governor, or instruct the governor, I guess, in this case, do a proclamation every year on January 13th. I think this will be a good reminder to all of us of the contributions that the Koreans make to Oregon and to the United States in general, and that the work that we did in the 1950s has not gone unappreciated. It also has not gone unnoticed, and I think we will continue for many years to reap the benefits of those actions that we took in the 1950s. So again, colleagues, thank you, and I urge a yes vote on House Bill 2447.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Lim, would you wish to close?
Thank you briefly, Mr. Speaker, again. Thank you very much. Especially, I want to thank the Chair Witt of this Workforce and Economic Development bringing this bill, and we were able to pass out unanimously, and I do deeply appreciate it. And I just want to note that in the calendar here, HB 2447 is a state has fiscal impact statement. And as a matter of fact, there is no fiscal impact statement here. Yes, a statement there, but there is no money involved at all. Only statement included in here. That the fiscal impact statement means that doesn't mean there is money there. Only statement included in there. No money involved. So I urge every member again to support this bill, and I do deeply appreciate it. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative Clem, how do you vote?
Aye.
Clem votes aye. House Bill 2447A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The House has done its part in recognizing and expressing appreciation for the contributions of Korean Americans and to encourage celebration of January 13th as Korean American Day, and we appreciate all from the Korean American community who have joined us here today. Thank you. Propositions and motions. The chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and House Bill 2163 and House Joint Memorial 5 be considered immediately. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended to temporarily advance the order of business to third reading of House bills. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2163, relating to fire safety standards for cigarettes, appropriated money, declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2163A. Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, it is my great pleasure to bring to you House Bill 2163A, which comes to you on a unanimous recommendation from your House Committee on Business and Labor. This is a bill, colleagues, that will save lives and provide a common sense solution that will save countless lives both now and in the future. And it will be one, I hope, of many bills that we'll be dealing with this session that will deal with the health consequences of cigarette smoking, and in this case, fatal consequences. Cigarettes, as we know, are the leading cause of residential fires that injure and kill people, and yet these deaths are preventable. Data collected by our fire marshal in Oregon shows that most of those who die in cigarette-related fires are impaired in some way, either by fatigue, drugs, medication, alcohol, old age, or sometimes by a physical or cognitive disability. And the tragic thing is that many of these fires, which are usually caused when someone is smoking and then falls asleep, are fires that are preventable. And the fire marshal has done a great job for many years of trying to educate the public about the dangers of smoking in bed or smoking on a couch and falling asleep. But those educational efforts only go so far. And the great news is that we have technology that can actually prevent many or most of these fires from happening. The good news is that cigarettes can be manufactured to reduce fire hazard. Fire-safe cigarettes are a proven, practical, and effective way to eliminate the risk of cigarette-ignited fires. The term used in the bill now, which was originally fire-safe cigarettes, has been changed to reduced ignition propensity, and the use of cigarettes that have a reduced propensity to burn when left unattended will help prevent tens of thousands of cigarette-ignited fires each year. Fires caused by cigarettes nationally kill between 700 and 900 people every year. And here in Oregon, just in the years 2001 to 2005, there were almost 1,500 residential fires caused by smoking. Of those, there were 126 fires that caused injuries, and there were 29 that caused death. And the cost in property damage is also staggering. Those same fires resulted in almost $28 million in property damage. Cigarette-ignited fires are the leading cause of home fire deaths and injuries in Oregon. And probably the greatest tragedy is that many of the victims of these fires, innocent victims, are children who live in the same home or sometimes in an adjacent apartment. So the bill that we bring to you today, House Bill 2163A, will require all cigarettes sold in Oregon to be manufactured with self-extinguishing paper. Pipes, cigars, and hand-rolled cigarettes go out if they're not being smoked, but commercially produced cigarettes are the only form of tobacco that keeps burning once it is lighted. This bill will require cigarettes sold in Oregon to be manufactured using a special paper with two or three thin bands of less porous paper that act as speed bumps to slow down a burning cigarette. And you'll find a diagram, a picture of those types of cigarettes on your table in front of you today. Colleagues, several other states have already taken the step of requiring cigarettes to be manufactured in this way, and it is working. New York was the first state to pass such a law, and now Vermont, California, Illinois, New Hampshire, and Massachusetts have all passed laws that will now require cigarettes to follow these guidelines. And 19 other states are currently considering this legislation. It's time for Oregon to become one of the states that joins this list and give this protection to Oregon families to save lives, to save property, to save the lives of the firefighters who are some of the leading people who brought us this bill today. Every day that it takes to switch to this life-saving technology is another day of increased risk, not only to smokers, but to their families, their neighbors, to the firefighters who fight these fires that could have been prevented. So, colleagues, House Bill 2163 passed unanimously by the Committee on Business and Labor. It is a great bill, probably one of the most important bills that you will get to vote on this session. I strongly urge your aye vote and look forward to hearing the comments of my co-carrier.
Recognize co-carrier Patty Smith, representing Patty Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Representative Rosebaum, for carrying this bill with me. House Bill 2163A will require cigarettes sold in Oregon to be manufactured in a way that makes them self-extinguishing if they are dropped in or left unattended, and therefore reducing cigarette-caused fires, which often result in the deaths and injuries. We heard in that committee, the business committee, how important this bill was, and everybody worked on this, and it's just a great honor to present this bill to you. It's time Oregon stepped up to the plate and did this, and as the good chair said, we'll save some timber too, so that's important. But we'll save deaths, fire deaths of our firefighters and our elderly. So please join me along with the House Business and Labor Committee, who gave this bill a unanimous do pass recommendation on February 14th. If this bill passes, Oregon will join New York, Vermont, California, Illinois, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and Canada in requiring fire-safe cigarettes. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Yeah, this is a great bill. It's been a long time coming. A lot of really good people work really hard getting it here, and I want to just thank them. And it's going to save property. It's going to save our forest and the timber that this state's been so abundantly blessed with and we're so grateful to have. And most importantly, though, it is going to save lives of perfectly innocent people. Great bill. Should pass. I urge your vote. Thank you.
Representative Bonamici.
To the bill.
To the bill.
Thank you. 1 week ago today, CNN.com, Louisville, Kentucky. A cigarette left burning near a chair likely caused a fire that killed 10 people earlier this month, a top fire official said Thursday, citing an ashtray found nearby. The victims, four adults and six children in an extended family, all died from smoke inhalation from the February 6th fire. An ashtray was found near the chair, and the burn pattern indicates that the location was the fire's starting point. The cigarette burned for about 40 minutes, producing toxic smoke before anybody noticed. The Kentucky legislature is considering legislation requiring cigarettes sold in Kentucky to be made out of fire-safe paper, which extinguishes itself when left alone. It will definitely save lives, said Russ Sanders, a spokesman for the National Fire Protection Association. Now, earlier this morning, I introduced to you my friend Tim Burr. Many years ago, when he was a firefighter in Eugene, Tim responded to a fire where a cigarette had dropped into an overstuffed chair. After putting the charred remains of a victim into a body bag, Tim wrote a My Turn column about the loss of lives from fires and that column was published in Newsweek magazine. And in that column, he mentioned self-extinguishing cigarettes. Colleagues, that article was published in December of 1980, more than 26 years ago. It saddens me greatly to think of all the lives that have been lost since then that could have been protected. I don't want to read a story like this story about my district, and I know you don't want to read a story like what happened in Kentucky, in your districts, or in any of Oregon. I encourage you to pass House Bill 2163. Thank you.
Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to say a couple of things. To the bill, yes. This was a great collaborative effort, as you have heard, and done during the interim when a lot of good work got done on other bills, too. This is a redo. It's been made, I think this was the largest number of supporters and stakeholders that I've ever seen on a list that support one concept. And this bill will save lives. And for that very reason, we should all vote yes. Thank you.
Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
I want to tell you about a story in Oregon. It was just about a year ago at this time, during the interim, about 1:30 in the morning, I was awakened by my wife. She was awakened because our dog was having a fit. And as I looked out my front window, in the front of my house, when I got up, I saw all sorts of flashing lights of the medics, the police, and the fire engines. The house next door, not next door, but my next door neighbor, one house removed, house was on fire. It seems, according to the fire marshal, that the lady of the house had put some cigarette ashes out of an ashtray into the garbage can underneath of the kitchen sink. Accompanying that garbage can was an aerosol can. The aerosol can exploded. And literally within minutes, the flames were 50 feet high coming out of the house. The man of the home managed to get out. His wife was overcome from smoke inhalation and didn't get out. It's time for Oregon.
Thank you, Representative Jensen. Representative Greenlink.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, we vote on many bills, and those bills have direct effect often on the lives of Oregonians, but there's probably not going to be a bill we'll have an opportunity to vote on in this session that will more directly and specifically save a specific number of lives over the next period than the bill before us now. I started working on this issue in 1970 with the American Public Health Association, and where we passed resolutions at that time encouraging communities to pass laws requiring fire-safe cigarettes. The tobacco companies in those days argued successfully that they did not have the technology available to effectively and efficiently make cigarettes that had lower propensity to burn, is that the term, That's no longer the case. The technology is there. There are states around the United States and Canada that have passed these laws, and the tobacco companies are making fire-safe cigarettes now and distributing them at no additional cost. When we had a hearing on this bill in the last session, and I've had a bill in each of the last two sessions introduced to do the same thing, Channel 6 News did an extraordinary experiment, and one that would be that was amazing to see even on film. They took two identical chairs and put on one a burning regular cigarette and on one a burning fire-safe cigarette. The fire-safe cigarette went out in a few minutes. The other cigarette smoldered, and there was a clock in the background that you could watch. It began to smolder a bit after a few hours, and after several hours, the chair burst completely into flame. Just one huge fire where there once was a chair caused by that single cigarette. It's now time to join states around the country and Canada and require cigarettes to be sold in this state to be those with a low propensity to burn. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Boquist.
Speaker, to the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, 2 years ago, when I was in a fit of frustration in the Revenue Committee, my esteemed colleague from Ontario told me the legislation took a long time, and I kind of came up with the parable, the old Gallo commercial, no wine before it's time. This bill is pretty much like that. Like Representative Greenlick over there, I co-sponsored this in the last session, and obviously it's back and it went no place. I co-sponsored it last time around, and I'm glad that it's here this time for two reasons. First is the fire safe issue, and I'm glad to see that the fire marshal has now been convinced that he needs to come forth, and I appreciate the governor bringing it forth. But I also co-sponsored this for a second reason, and that is that on revenue, you get into the master tobacco settlement and tobacco taxes and things like that. And it came to my attention that all of the major brands, even 2 years ago, produced this type of wrapper for the cigarette. And those that are not portions of the master tobacco settlement, those that are involved in the smuggling of cigarettes and other tobacco products, and those that are involved in tax evasion, are the ones that don't have the wrapper. And so that was one of the reasons last time around that I supported it, because I believe this not only will address fire safety, public health, but will also help address the smuggling of other tobacco products. And I urge your passage.
Representative Garrard.
To the bill, Mr. Speaker.
To the bill.
Colleagues, while I do not profess to represent all of the smokers in the state of Oregon, to the best of my knowledge, I do represent 100% of the smokers who are members of this legislative body. Rarely do we do anything that is good for smokers in this body. But House Bill 2163 is a good bill, and I support a yes vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Rosenbaum, do you wish to close?
Yes, briefly, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, the history of this issue in Oregon is a long and proud one. In fact, you may not know that Oregon was the very first state in the nation to raise this issue in legislation by passing a memorial to Congress that goes all the way back to 1979 when we passed, coming from the Senate, a memorial to Congress urging them to enact legislation requiring cigarette manufacturers to develop self-extinguishing cigarettes. Well, so it's been 28 years since then, and we are all still waiting, and all the other states are too, for Congress to act, and we don't need to wait any longer because we know we can pass a law here in Oregon, as other states have done. The good representative from Pendleton spoke much more eloquently than I ever could by telling the story of one of the lives that was needlessly lost here in our own state. And by voting for this bill today, we can ensure that that will virtually not happen again. There are many people who worked very hard to see this bill come forward for many years. In fact, our own speaker introduced, I believe, a version of this bill 4 years ago, and today we are able to finally vote on it. But of all those many people, I particularly want to acknowledge, and I believe they are in the gallery today, two retired firefighters, Tim Burr, who has been mentioned earlier by Representative Bonamici, who was tireless in bringing this issue forward and bringing it here to us this session, and also former state representative and firefighter Tom Whalen. And I want to thank both of them for their absolute passionate and tireless work that brought the bill to us today. Colleagues, this bill will save lives. It's one of the best votes you will probably get to cast this session, and I urge you to expeditiously join me in voting yes on House Bill 2163A. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative Hunt, how do you vote? Hunt votes aye. Representative Krummel votes aye. House Bill 2163A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Representative Lim, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, thank you again. Could we return to courtesy, please?
Colleagues, can we have a bit quieter in the chamber? Representative Lim, could you make that request again?
Please, could we return to courtesy, please?
Request to return to courtesies. Any objection? Seeing none, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President, again. We have a visitor from my district. I would like to recognize the students and faculties from Springwater Trail High School. The school is in my district. The students are led by the Mr. Mike Lurie, who is the teacher of the school. The visiting students are sitting corner over there. And then Chelsea, Alex, Jesse, Kayla, Ashley, Skyler, Andrew, Crystal, Anthony, Thomas, Ben, Katie, Sean, and Blake. I hope I didn't miss anyone. Please wave your hand. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you very much. Welcome. Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended to temporarily advance the order of business of final reading, memorials, and resolutions. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The clerk will read the memorial.
HJM 5, urging Congress to pass legislation to reauthorize and extend Secure Rural Schools and Community Self-Determination Act of 2000.
Question now arises upon final reading and adoption of House Joint Memorial 5. Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this memorial comes to you from Ag and Natural Resources Committee, in which it passed unanimously. We are about to watch a catastrophe happen in Oregon. If these county payments do not come forth from the federal government, I need to share some of the testimony so that you have a better understanding of what it means around our state. First, so that you understand, this is a federal bill that really impacts a number of states, but Oregon receives over half of the total amount of money because within our borders are contained forest land, both the ONC lands and BLM lands, that are at the heart of why the federal government gave money to our counties. And so you understand, two of those counties are some of the top receivers. In Douglas County, they will lose $50 million. In Lane County, $50 million. Clackamas County, $13 million. Josephine, $16 million. Most of these counties have more than 50% of their land base owned by the federal government. And let me share with you some of the things that were told to our committee. In Josephine County, as many of us know, we were proud of the search and rescue efforts that Oregon search and rescue teams from counties have been highlighted in the news, whether it's on Mount Hood or in Josephine County, the Kim family. Their search and rescue program will cease if these funds are not restored. In Coos County, public safety and health are on the line. Over 50% of our sheriff's department will be eliminated. From Josephine County, without these federal funds, our county law enforcement will be reduced to one patrol vehicle serving two 10-hour shifts and only responding to life-threatening calls. Our 262-bed jail will be limited to holding only 20 or 30 of the most dangerous prisoners. These are hardly tools necessary to provide meaningful safety. From Harney County, last year they received $2,706,656.44 for their roads. They will receive around $500,000 in the future. Their roads in Harney County, over 2,100 miles. They maintain 900 plus miles with 140 bridges and over 1,000 culverts. The roads in our rural communities will go unkept. As we sit here and think about this and recognize that the final payments have already been sent to all of these counties, pink slips have been sent out around our state, it is essential that we send a clear, consistent voice to our federal delegation, all of whom are on board, but to all of the other federal delegations, that there is a responsibility by the federal government to maintain these county payments. Separate from that, we also lose another $30 million to our education fund. I urge your support and stand ready to take questions.
Further discussion, Representative Marr.
Mr. Speaker, to the memorial.
To the memorial.
Last week, during public testimony, Buck Eichler, President, SEIU 497/503, Jackson County Employees Association, made the following statement. Oregon's rural counties cannot and should not shoulder the economic burden of protecting the national interest. What is that national interest? That national interest is the protection of our timberlands. My district, Josephine County, along with many Oregon counties, has carried the financial weight of that national interest on their shoulders. The time is now for special interests in the federal government to either pay for permanent protection or lift the iron curtain that has descended around our public lands.
Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, rise to the memorial to add my voice of support for this. This could be the most important bill that we vote on, or one of the most important bills that we vote on this session. This may not mean a lot to some people directly who live in the urban areas because you don't get some of these funds, but you do eventually get them, as Representative from Coos Bay said, in the school funds. But these loss of monies mean jobs, and in Tillamook County, we're going to lose about $3 million in services. Part of that's most of our road fund and some of our general fund, but right now the road people, there's I think 15 who've been laid off. But these are real family wage jobs. and these are services to people. Now, the really bad news is that these services that won't be being delivered by the counties will then pass over to the state. So we'll have to plan for that in some way, shape, or form. People who lose their jobs end up sometimes going on state services. They will be needing, more people will be needing our help. This was a promise to us, and it should be kept. And my understanding of some of the federal representatives who actually had a part in putting this into place are now thinking that we need to refigure the formula is on deck too. So I support this memorial, and I also encourage all of you to contact our federal delegation, who are already working hard on this to save these dollars and make sure that they are reinstated. But I think we all should do that and let them know in mass with this memorial that we mean business. Thank you.
Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the memorial.
To the memorial.
Colleagues, this is a disaster that's just about hit ground zero in the rural areas of the state. The impacts, I think, have been fairly well outlined, but I did want to make a couple of more points. Measure 5 and Measure 50 have had a profound impact in the rural areas of the state on the ability of those areas to tax themselves just as they have in the urban areas. I first asked the question about whether there was capacity to be able to increase the tax base in the rural areas to help mitigate for some of the loss of the funds, but it soon became very clear that there was no room under the cap to grow the funding sources from these areas. The cities and the school districts have taken up most of the room under Measure 50. The county that I come from, Douglas County, currently has a $1 per thousand tax base and no way to increase that tax rate. Without the funding that comes to the county from the federal safety net, the county has enough money from their assessment base to fund a half a year of sheriff's protection and absolutely no other services. There is a profound impact on the state of Oregon if it comes to pass that these payments stop. There are a great many programs that where the county joins hands with state government and provides programs in common with the state. These are programs that are in the human services arena, in the corrections arena, and in the economic development arena predominantly. Many of these counties put their general fund dollars also into these programs, and as they lose the ability to do that, the need for those services is actually probably going to increase. It certainly isn't going to go away, and the responsibility for administering those programs in those counties is going to fall to the state level, and the counties are no longer going to be able to be partners in that. Cities in the region are also going to be impacted. An example is that the city of Roseburg receives a pass-through from the county of a substantial several hundred thousands of dollars every year that the city uses to upgrade their streets. So the impacts of this are going to be profound. The nascence of the payment that comes from the federal government is because of the withdrawal of the federal forest lands from the harvest base. During the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, these programs were funded from a portion of the taxes that were raised by the harvesting of timber on the land. In the 80s, the land was withdrawn because of the listing of the spotted owl under the Endangered Species Act, and this payment program was put in place to mitigate for that loss of critical revenue to the areas. That program is now coming to an end. We're still very hopeful that we'll get an extension to it, but there is no certainty, and I think speaking with a very clear voice to our federal partners on this issue is very important in letting them know that this issue is of critical importance to the rural areas of the state, but also to everyone in the state. I urge your aye vote, and thank you.
Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the memorial.
To the memorial.
Colleagues, I found a need to rise and add my voice to support for this memorial because as a former county commissioner, I was there walking the halls of Congress when we first passed the, I never can say it right, Secure Rural Schools and Community Self-Determination Act in 2000. The need was critical then, and we were able to voice that collectively to our congressional representatives from across the United States. The need is no less now, and since I can't be in D.C. because I have other obligations here, I urge your support of this memorial.
Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the memorial.
To the memorial.
Thank you. I want to talk about a slightly different issue that's related to this memorial. There is no question at all that we are facing an emergency in many Oregon counties, including one of the counties that I represent a portion of, Lane County. And I'm not going to go into the horror stories that we face there because they've already been well illustrated by the description of issues in other counties. I want to talk about the causes of this problem a little bit and recognize that this memorial is a step only in the right direction, but it doesn't get us there. Those of you who have studied the way in which the federal government manages its forests recognize that they don't manage their forests, that in fact the federal government is the largest landowner in the state of Oregon and acts in an extremely irresponsible fashion in the way it does not manage its forests. It fails to do any of the things that are necessary for the health of the forest, and it fails to do any of the things that are necessary in order to make the forest a productive resource for the people who live nearby, or indeed for the federal government itself. When the Bureau of Land Management stopped managing the ONC timberlands in Lane County, they had overplanted sections of very prime forest lands at low elevations where trees can be grown in 40 or 50 years. We now have trees that are 30 years old that are growing 6 inches apart, that are so thick that you can't walk between them, and many of which are going to die in the next few years because of overcrowding. Foresters for private timber companies tell me that these forest lands could be thinned and productively. The federal government could charge money for the results of those thinnings and improve the health of the forest at the same time. These are examples of the failure of the federal government to manage its forests. Now, why does that relate to this memorial? The fact is that the funds to pay for these services to these counties used to come from the timber that was harvested from the federal forest lands and in the various agencies of the federal government. The failure of the federal government to have a long-term plan to manage these forests for multiple use, that is, for timber revenue, for environmental reasons, for safety for the forests, and its failure to manage them for recreation is what's put us into this crisis. That must change. This step, this memorial, is a first step in the process of getting the federal government to take responsibility for its failure. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the memorial.
To the memorial.
I, too, just want to add a quick voice for the five counties I represent in supporting this memorial, but I want to go a step further and join Representative Morgan and Representative Boone in saying we need to start now working on a state solution. And the reason we need to start now is that all but three counties are impacted by those. Those three are going to be drugged down with the rest of us on the Titanic. July 1, effectively 12 counties go bankrupt. We're talking about leaving here the day before July 1. If we're expecting the federal government to bail us out 100%, it is not going to happen. What we need to do is work together in a bipartisan form across both sides of the aisle, urban versus rural, Democrat versus Republican, and we need to craft our own solution as the plan B to implement to help the counties and help the state of Oregon. And in the meantime, I urge your passage.
Representative Klum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the memorial.
To the memorial.
Representative Boquist just said everything that I was going to say. It's exactly how I feel. My county is not affected in a large way, but I do think we need to start now, and you said it exactly correctly. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none. Those who are of the opinion that the memorial should pass. Oh, let's have a close.
Thank you.
Representative Roblin, do you wish to close?
I would. Thank you.
Please proceed.
I am also going to read a text from Buck Eichler from Jackson County, a service employee in that county, who gave us testimony, and I think he says it a lot, sums up much of what was said here today. The funding crisis in Jackson County that is closing our libraries and causing service reductions in police, fire, and road maintenance is not a federal welfare program for timber-dependent economies. The revenue from timber production on federal land was just the mechanism used to compensate local jurisdictions for the loss of annual property tax revenue. Now the federal government has decided to nearly stop the harvest of timber. It is essential to find a new mechanism to compensate rural counties with large amounts of federal land within its borders. These federal lands would have been cities, towns, farms, and forest lands producing millions in property tax each year. A congressional act was passed to reimburse this loss by dedicating those lands for sustained yield timber production, splitting the net profit with the counties. Since the 1980s, our nation has decided instead to preserve most of these lands for habitat protection, and timber production has been drastically reduced. We need not argue against such priorities, but we need to fight for the mitigation of our loss. A deal is a deal. Rather than pointing fingers at one another, let's speak with one voice to have these federal payments resumed until a permanent solution can be found. I urge your yes on this resolution. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the memorial should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative Lim, how do you vote? Representative Lim votes aye. House Joint Memorial 5, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 2762 relating to voter registration. House Bill 2763 relating to Chinese language instruction appropriate money declared emergency. House Bill 2764 relating to parole and probation officers. House Bill 2765 relating to police officer training. House Bill 2766 relating to alcoholic beverages. House Bill 2767 relating to Oregon Workforce Innovation Council and appropriate money. House Bill 2768 relating to service districts providing sheriff services and declaring emergency. House Bill 2769 relating to community college funding appropriate money declared emergency. House Bill 2770 relating to talented and gifted children declared emergency. House Bill 2771 relating to the license issued by the State Fish and Wildlife Commission. House Bill 2772 relating to foster care. House Bill 2773 relating to task force on school nurses declaring an emergency. House Bill 2774 relating to ignition interlock devices. House Bill 2775 relating to bypass and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2776 relating to electrify certain business enterprises not to obtain public work funds. House Bill 2777 relating to public work funds. House Bill 2778 relating to election by certain business enterprises not to obtain public works fund. House Bill 2779 relating to tax credits for payroll costs prescribed an effective date. House Bill 2780 relating to senior course programs for providing money declaring an emergency. House Bill 2781 relating to construction liability insurance declaring an emergency. House Bill 2782 relating to precursor substances. House Bill 2783 relating to termination of workers' compensation. House Bill 2784 relating to oral health screenings and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2785 relating to hydroelectric projects. House Bill 2786 relating to skiing. House Bill 2787 relating to state parks, recreation commission fees and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2788 relating to Oregon Investment Advancement Act prescribing an effective date. House Bill 2789 relating to payment for remedial courses. House Bill 2790 relating to Oregon 529 College Savings Network and appropriating money.
Bills read first time or passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Representative Lim, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, again. And could we return to courtesy again?
Representative Lim requests return to courtesies. Without objection, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Sitting next to me is a beautiful young lady.
And I would like to introduce Sarah Hamilton. Sarah was my intern last session, and she called me Haraboji, which means grandpa. So naturally, I became a grandpa. And she is here for the OSU student lobby. And on the left side of the aisle of this floor is her friend, Jackie Justice. Where are you, Jackie? Okay. And please welcome them. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Welcome, Sarah. Second reading of House bills. House Bill 2066 relating to Citrus State Committee. House Bill 272 relating to interstate reciprocity for persons regulated by the State Marine Board and declaring emergency. House Bill 2269 relating to motor vehicle registration plates. House Bill 2275 relating to safety belts. House Bill 2384 relating to the application of insured motorist coverage to occupants of motor vehicles with similar insured motorist coverage. House Bill 2417 relating to compensation of judges. Bills read second time or passed to third reading. Consent calendar. Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that the bills remaining on today's consent calendar be carried to their proper place on Monday, February 26, 2007 calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Third reading of House bills. Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended. The bills remaining on today's third reading of House bills be carried over to their proper place on Monday, February 26, 2007, third reading calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Final reading. Nope, we've done that. Final reading, memorials and resolutions. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 155 relating to mental health treatment and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 171 relating to proper tax returns. Senate Bill 172 relating to proper tax returns. Senate Bill 173 relating to disclosure of tax information.
Bills read first time or passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate bills. Third reading of Senate bills. Other business of the House. Other business of the Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Hunt.
Democrats will caucus at 12:30, so after the rally on the steps for higher ed.
Other announcements? Remonstrances? Adjournment. Representative Jensen, 10:45 a.m. Monday, February 26, 2007.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 10:45 a.m. Monday, February 26, 2007.
Representative Jensen moves the House adjourn until 10:45 a.m. Monday, February 26, 2007. Without objection, the House is adjourned.